The Commonwealth of Massachusetts, they are a commonwealth, announced plans to convert to something called the Open Document Format, ODF. According to the announcement, all executive branch agencies would be converted to this format no later than January of 2007. This announcement resulted in a hue and cry from the disability community because nowhere was there any mention of accessibility to ODF. The National Federation of the Blind and Computer Science, while it has no objection to ODF per se, has adopted the position that Massachusetts' initial approach to the ODF implementation effort did leave something to be desired in terms of assuring continued access to documents and other data stored electronically and used by blind employees of the state. We expressed our concerns and called upon the Commonwealth to maintain the status quo until accessibility to the open document format could be assured. I think it is fair to say that today there is no software you can buy that provides non-visual access to documents coded in the open document format. In other words, the open document format is not all that open to the blind. Microsoft certainly does not support ODF. And while IBM appears to be making strides to make it possible for its workplace software to be used by the blind, so far we have seen nothing on the market. I emphasize the on the market part. Enter Joe Lazaro. Joe Lazaro is the manager of a new assistive technology group that has been created within the Information Technology Division of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Mr. Lazaro is blind. That might come as a shock to some of you. Maybe you don't know.
It was a shock to me.
Yeah. He was the director of the Adaptive Technology Program at the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind until late May when he assumed his new position. You may be interested to know that these things about Joe Lazaro. He is a freelance fact and fiction writer. He has written 3 nonfiction computer-related books and hundreds of published magazine articles. His latest book is entitled Adaptive Technologies, As Learning and Work Environments, Second Edition. I can't read my own braille.
Yeah.
Joe has appeared in such notable publications as the New York Times, Times Life Access, Byte, Computer Shopper, MIT Technology Review, IEEE Spectrum, Windows Magazine, Isaac Asimov Science Fiction, and Analog. Joe is a person who is committed to accessibility. That's my...
Oh, I was committed at one time.
You were, really? Which asylum was it, Joe?
It was a secret. It was Dick Cheney in the Shadow.
Oh, Dick Cheney, yeah. It is significant that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has chosen a blind person as of his caliber to lead its information technology accessibility effort. And I really say that it is very significant that they've done that. While I don't know for certain how all of this will turn out, I do feel much better knowing that somebody like Joe Lazaro is in charge, and I have pledged our help as an organization. The draft mission statement for Mr. Lazaro's newly formed group reads something like this. The ITD's accessibility group mission is to assure all ITD information technology procurements and deployments are fully compliant with recognized accessibility standards and usable by persons with sensory, physical, learning, cognitive, and other disabilities. This will be accomplished by building and maintaining links, not hypertext links, between ITD, assistive technology vendors, open source, and COTS, commercial off-the-shelf, hardware and software vendors, standards bodies, and disability-related stakeholders and contractors. The program will have sign-off authority on RFRs, in areas pertaining to accessibility standards, and will monitor and test applications during the development cycle to assure they meet with state and federal accessibility requirements. As I say, all of this is encouraging beginning. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I really would like you to give a very warm welcome to Joel Lazzaro.
Thank you.
There's a weird mic in a weird spot, which you can either, you know, actually, as it, right here. As it turns out, you don't need the mic much at the time.
That's fine. All right. Curtis, I want to thank you for inviting me to speak to this group. It's quite an honor to work with you and with this group. This group has pushed the boundaries of accessibility, and I want to congratulate NFB and Ray Kurzweil for the new KNFB reader. You guys get things done. And that's, I'm not saying that just because Curtis promised me a free reader. For $3,500, right, credit card. We've got about 20 minutes to talk, and then we can have about 5 minutes for questions. I'm going to try to basically answer several different questions. How did we get here? What's the short history? I'm going to talk a little bit about the so-called Memorandum of Agreement, which is a document between the Information Technology Division and the disability organizations in Massachusetts. Three, what is ODF? That'll be very, very light. What applications use ODF? Can Microsoft products use ODF? Plugins that read and write ODF? I'll talk a little bit about our actual group and how we're setting that up and some of the challenges that we face in the future. How did we get here? As usual, Massachusetts has done it again. In 1995, the Information Technology Division decided they were going to convert from DOS to Windows. They didn't tell anybody then either. And as a result of that, we got an accessibility committee and a lot of international support, national support, and it's been a long 10 years. We had a lot of help and a lot of partners. NFB was one of them. We now have a fairly high level of accessibility on the Microsoft platforms. It's not perfect, but probably most people here are using Windows. I have been a Linux user kind of on the side. I've set up a couple of Unix systems in my life and played with them. I still have probably one of the few people to still have a shell account that my wife keeps yelling at me about to get rid of. And I just can't bring myself to do it.
You and Curtis would be great friends.
Which Curtis?
The Curtis Willoughby.
The other Curtis.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, I'm not going to give any exact dates, ITD decided that they were going to roll out to a platform that supported open document format. And the rationale was that this was an open standard and would allow the Commonwealth to preserve its documents in a better format that was more maintainable into the future. Unfortunately, they really didn't consider the accessibility implications, and they got hammered pretty hard. Curtis was one of the people who helped do that. And other organizations as well, the Bay State Council of the Blind in Massachusetts, the American Council of the Blind, the Disability Policy Consortium in Massachusetts, several other organizations, the Mass Office on Disability, which is the ADA coordinator for the Commonwealth, the Chief Information Officer of ITD is now a gentleman by the name of Luis Gutierrez, who used to be the CIO for the Executive Office of Health and Human Services. This was back in 1995 when Charlie Crawford, our last commissioner, basically went to the state legislature and said, Windows is not accessible and we're not going to buy it. And Lewis, who was in a position certainly to say you're making too many waves, this is going to cause a lot of trouble, didn't. He said, go for it. Let's do it. We'll support you. And it would have been pretty hard. Anybody here know Charlie Crawford? Would have been pretty hard to shut him down anyway. But Luis Gutierrez is, I believe, a man of integrity. He is someone who gets it about accessibility. And I'm not just saying that because he's my new boss. I'm not a Kool-Aid drinker. I didn't drink Kool-Aid for the Commission for the Blind. I'm not going to drink Kool-Aid for ITD. It's my personal reputation is too important to me. This whole issue is important to me. I'm a blind person myself, so I have a vested interest in making sure that this is also accessible. That sounds like a pact made.
It is.
All right. So as a result of the reaction from the disability community, the legislature, and several other state agencies, ITD decided that it would be best for them to create a Department of Accessibility. And that's where I come in. What originally happened, the first thing that took place was the so-called Memorandum of Agreement, or MOU for short. And that Memorandum of Agreement was between the Information Technology Division and all the disability agencies of the Commonwealth. This is currently in the probably about 80 to 85% vetted. They're putting the finishing touches on that. And basically, the MOU states that the Commonwealth is going to use the 508 standards for accessibility. The Commonwealth also has its own internal standards for web accessibility that go beyond 508. But the main premise of the memorandum is that ITD will be bound by recognized accessibility standards. That's very, very important. And that's kind of the backbone of what's going on between ITD and the rest of it in the Commonwealth disability agencies. Okay. With that said, ODF, what is ODF? ODF is the open document format. It is being used by a number of applications, among them Star Office, Open Office, K Office, IBM Workplace, and probably some others that I've never heard of. Again, the benefits of the open document format is that it is more portable and less proprietary. The trouble with ODF is that none of the applications that currently support it are screen reader friendly. If you have other disabilities, you can probably use this fairly successfully, but if you're a screen reader user, you're really, really in big trouble. Now, the Commonwealth, when it created the ODF, I believe they call it the ETRM, the Enterprise Technical Reference Model, which is a very fancy name for this ODF rollout. They were going to roll this out by 2007. I was on the original advisory group with them when they decided to do this, and I said, even if this thing was totally accessible, there's no way you're going to roll this out by 2007. The deployment of this nature is just massive. And with that said, the legislature just finished a post-audit report on the Information Technology Division, and one of the key points of that is that the ODF rollout is on hold until we can verify its accessibility. And it's going to be my signature that is on that document, and I'm not going to sign it unless it is. Because there is no place on this planet I can hide from Curtis Chong if I do so. Now, what are we going to do in the meantime? Okay, the Commonwealth really wants to use ODF, and I believe that it is worth pursuing. I also believe, and this again I'm speaking as Joel Lazaro, not as ITD, it's not my job at ITD to decide what the state deploys. It's my job to make sure it's accessible. I believe it would be in everybody's best interest for there to be accessible open document platforms. It actually would probably even be good for Microsoft, because competition is good.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if we can walk away from this mess and have Star Office or even better, Open Office, which is free, and Orca, which is free, That would be a tremendous gift to the world. It would be a tremendous gift to the disability community. And it would be the right thing to do. And if I could even be a small part of that, that would be a tremendous feeling of satisfaction for me personally. In the meantime, until we roll out ODF, what are we going to do? We have a tremendously large base of Microsoft Office and Microsoft Windows installed around the state. That's what we're using. So to begin reading and writing ODF files, we ITD has put out an RFR for plugins which give ODF read-write capacity to Microsoft Office. We've seen two of them so far. I believe there were six or seven responses. Let's see. I'm trying to scroll down through my list. The two plugins that we've seen that look promising, one of them is from the Open Document Foundation and the other one from Sun Microsystems. Both of these, basically, if you're familiar with Microsoft Word, you go to the Save As dialog box and you tab to the list of file types you can go to and you just arrow down to ODT. It's just another file format. We tested that with JAWS, and it was fine. It's a standard Microsoft dialog box, so it's pretty confident that it's going to work with other assistive technologies. With that said, we're going to test it with everything we can get our hands on to make sure it doesn't break or it doesn't break anything. And just as important, we want to make sure that the documents that come out of this plugin at the other end will inherit their accessibility if they were created in an accessible format. We've already proved that one of them doesn't fully do that, and we're addressing that now. They are addressing that now. So the plugin is basically a band-aid. It's a bridge to get us to the ODF, to the world of ODF. There are some who would like to stop there and say, okay, we have an ODF plugin, we have Microsoft, let's just stay there. It'd be very tempting to stay there. It's a safe little world. We're all familiar with it. But I think that would violate the whole spirit, because even though ITD, way back when it came out with this idea for ODF, yes, they didn't consult the disability people. It's still a good idea on the surface. And it does promote the idea of open standards, which I believe are very important. Without standards, we really will have very little accessibility. Right now we live in a world of special cases. We need more standards for accessibility. We need accessibility by contract, accessibility by API, not accessibility by smoke, mirrors, magic, and tricks. And this is no degradation to the screen reader developers. They do great work. But some of the stuff they do is just almost impossible. And it breaks every time an application or an operating system revs. We've gotten better, but it's still not. I want to be able to use an operating system and an application. I want everything to work. I don't want 95%. One of the folks from one of the mainstream vendors was talking to us a couple months ago, and he basically said, "What's the minimum level of accessibility you'll take?" And I said, "Well, what if I just took a little piece of your screen and just taped it over?" And that happened, randomly. like every time I felt like it. Okay?
Yeah.
What if I just pried off? Well, you don't use the L key very often, and you can really use the number one instead. And things like that. So I didn't make him too happy. But it's true. I mean.
Do you understand?
Pardon me?
Did you understand the subtle point you were making?
I'm not very subtle. I am not. He did. He was a little unhappy when he left the room. Well, to stick up for them, it's a tough job. See, what's going on in this whole world, again, we're in a world of special cases. The screen reader developers have to go hat in hand to the mainstream developers. The mainstream developers do their own thing, and they don't often play nice together. They're playing better, but it's still not a perfect world. And frankly, the screen reader manufacturers don't want to see a world where we have accessibility by contract and by API. What if a screen reader was 200 lines of code? that's going to hurt the market. I mean, maybe we're getting to the point where some of these companies are at the buggy whip stage. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. It could happen. But, you know, to me, my I would hate to see the companies that we've relied on so much go away. I'm not sure they're going to go away. But the future is the future. You know? All right, so with that said, talk a little bit about ITD and the new assistive technology. Well, Curtis, if I get on too long, just kick me.
Yeah, I will. Okay. Yeah, you're fine.
And ITD, the Information Technology Division, if you go to www.mass.gov/ITD, you'll see our webpage. And in a couple of weeks, you'll see a link up there called Assistive Technology Group off the main page. That will be me. They're not going to put a picture of me on the page, even though I've asked them to do that. There are just some things even they won't do, which is probably a good thing.
Tell them to write the caption.
I'll let Curtis write the caption. Because ITD runs the wide area network, and they control the computers for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Not every agency, but the vast majority of them. This is a pretty large outfit. And for me, it's been a very interesting experience going from a human service agency, the Mass Commission for the Blind, to working for an information technology outfit. This is, in some way, I kind of feel like I've died and gone to heaven. It's like a whole place full of computer weenies. And I kind of like that. So it's outside my office are developers working on mass.gov, which is the state website, the virtual gateway, which is semi-accessible, which I just had a meeting with their information architect last week. So ITD basically manages most of the infrastructure computer-wise for the Commonwealth. The Assistive Technology Group is under the Enterprise Applications Bureau, which I think is a good place for it because all the applications that ITD procures are done by my manager, a guy by the name of Larry Gilman, who is a very, very harried individual who spends 95% of his time in meetings. I even feel sorry for him. Again, open source and other platforms are not going to be deployed unless they're accessible. That is our mission statement. A lot of people have asked me if all I'm going to be dealing with is open source, and that's absolutely untrue. We're going to be dealing with every type of application and operating system deployed by ITD. Websites, web applications, you name it. The group is going to right now is we're in the process of writing out skill sets for the department. We're going to staff the group with assistive technology experts across disabilities. We're going to work with consumers and other agencies, disability agencies, disability groups, to get feedback. That's kind of my role right now. My first few weeks on the job is introducing myself to other agencies. And, you know, how can we help you? You know, we've got a big task here, and we want to make sure we get it right. So we're getting an awful lot of input from the major stakeholders. We're seeking beta testers, people with disabilities who use assistive technology. We're going to create an accessibility web portal on the ITD website to distribute information about accessibility best practices. We're going to hopefully promote and create standards for web applications, other applications, documents, telephony, any type of hardware or software that ITD procures. We're going to set up a help desk, which will advise Commonwealth staff on best practices, which will advise vendors on best practices, anybody who needs information about how to make applications accessible. We're writing a training component for accessible design. We're going to do custom instruction for Commonwealth staff and other interested parties. And most importantly, from my point of view, this to me is kind of a dream. We're going to set up an assistive technology lab, which will have a virtual LAN, virtual local area network, which will be able to which will consist of all different operating systems and applications. We'll be able to configure this LAN dynamically on the fly to set up different types of operating environments for testing. I may never be seen or heard from again.
They deliver food.
They do deliver food. And they do have a great cafeteria in the building. It's ashburtoncafe.com. That was another reason why I took the job. They make a great meatloaf.
Can they beam the food into the lab?
No, well, that would be fun. We'll get a team on that.
Right? Oh, yeah, okay.
They're not quite that apologetic yet. Let's see. Let me give... go to the next section. We're almost done here. Some of the challenges that we face. This is, I mean, it sounds very rosy, but there's still a lot of inertia to do things the way that have been, they've been done all along. And this is not just with ITD, but this is with other agencies, even some of the disability agencies. One of the things I'm trying to get through to everyone is build accessibility at the beginning, and you'll get a lot of this for free. We need to get developers to embrace standards, to use the standards. We also have to convince developers to make technology usable, not just accessible. Okay, usability is a very important piece here, and we sometimes lose sight of it because all we want to do is make sure it talks. Does it work with JAWS or WindowEyes or Dolphin? We open up a web page or a web application, and there's 900 links, 75,000 headings, 72 million forms, okay, and 35,000 other, undescribable objects. This is not usable. Where do I start? So we've got to make things not just accessible but usable. Now, the government, I believe, plays an important role in this. It played an important role way back when with the railroad, getting everybody to adopt the same gauge. Okay, everybody wins when we get into an environment where everybody can play. We want to get away from this world of special casing. We want to get to the world where we have accessibility by contract and API. Now, I'm going to end this and open this up to questions. I'm, as I said, a technologist. I've been a science fiction fan all my life, and one of my favorite quotes is from Arthur C. Clarke, who I'm sure many of you will know, British science fiction writer, wrote the book 2001: A Space Odyssey. And Clarke's third law states, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. That is something that I'm going to have outside of my lab. I think that it is a guiding light to show us where technology can take us. And with that said, I'll give my phone number, direct line if people want to contact me, and my email, and then I'll open the floor to questions. My direct phone number is 617-626-4410, and my email is joe.lazzaro@state.ma.us, and that's joe.lazzaro@state.ma.us. And with that, any questions?
Any questions? Say your name. Wow, I think you did it. So
that means I did a really crappy job.
No, you did a really good job. So thank you very much, Joe.
That's fine. I'm not an expert in the plugins. I've seen them. One of them requires that Star Office be loaded on the computer. Well, eventually they'll trim that down, so they say. Basically, this is just something that runs within Office.
Do you have to have Microsoft permission to use it?
I don't think so.
No, you can add it as a toolbar option.
You just add it as a toolbar option. The implementations we've seen have just, again, been, you go to the Save As dialog box, you type in a file name, you tab the file types, and you down arrow through that list. ODT is now one of them, along with RTF, text, etc.
No, but that's not going to be freely available to everybody in the world. That's a special offering for Massachusetts, right?
I believe so. Yeah. That's a good question.
And how about opening? You talked about Save As. That's one thing. What about getting...
Opening, the plugins will also take ODT documents and pull them into Word.
Okay, so it's a conversion thing.
It's a conversion utility.
Okay. In general, the Atlas model already has this plugin model set. It's already provided for compatibility with all kinds of other document formats, image formats. So there's a well-defined API that any developer can write a plugin it appears that it has a new source of the information. Once you get it installed on the machine, it's transparency, whether it's part of Office.
Right, and again, I mean, that dialog box is very accessible with screen readers, so there were no showstoppers there that we could see.
If the proposal were put to me as the IT person making a final decision as to how the plugin would be implemented, and if what they said as a part of the thing was that I had to install, you know, the full Star Office product on my machine, that proposal wouldn't get very much play in my organization. Just let you know. I think that's overkill for what is wanted in this case. But
I think this is for the preliminary version.
Yeah.
I agree with you, actually. Why should you have to buy a secondary Office package? This has, again, been thrown together very quickly in response to this. If you go to the mass.gov/LEGIT, which I believe is the homepage for the Massachusetts legislature. LEG. Did I say LEG?
You did.
I did.
I heard you.
I'm not saying nothing. If you go to that website, you can read the Senate Post Audit Committee. It is very long. It is very... It works.
Yeah.
And you can read the recommendations. The first recommendation is that ODT, ODF will not be deployed unless it's accessible. So, yes. Hello.
I have actually two questions. I haven't looked at the plugin you mentioned. It's the ODT file provider application. Has the person doing this looked at the... I'm also the co-chair of the ODF. Looked at the accessibility...
In workplace?
No, for the plugin. Certain things you might have to add to the Microsoft editor. Have they also looked at spreadsheets and presentations?
Yes. That will event. I believe the first rollout is going to be for Word, and then other file types are going to be rolled into the mix. So. That's one of the major concerns. There's a lot of other types of file types around the state. One of the big problems that we have are Microsoft Access databases.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to address that. That's going to be interesting.
That will be interesting.
What's the question around access?
Converting a Microsoft Access database to an open, if there even is such a structure. As you know, a Microsoft Access database contains tables. It also contains scripts and Visual Basic, macros, all that stuff. And I'm sure that's going to be real messy to convert.
This is Rich.
In ODF.
I didn't think so, but there's so much stuff out there. I'm very reluctant to say that there isn't something.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you.